Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. I'm excited to see all of you. And I'm going to give you, since the core was presented, ICORE was presented this morning.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you what it is, and then I'm going to give you the background to it, and then I'll come back to explain just a few points that we have under each value.
Good.
All right. Because you already have introduction to it. All right. But I will give you the reasons of the research and the background to those values so that we understand them in a much better way. And you realize that these are the things that feed into our strategic document as the General Conference, as a church, and as divisions, as unions, as conferences, where we have relationships, reach in, reach up, reach out, and reach beyond. And what are those 10 values? Let me remind you again. Number one, under relationships, connecting. Very, very important. We'll come to that. Caring and participating. Under spiritual growth, we have worshiping. Let me stand this side so that you guys can see what's on the board. Worshiping and teaching. And then under mission, we have serving and we have reconciling. Did I say reconciling?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Reconciling. And then we have empowerment, which has to do with mentoring, training, and leading. What are the issues feeding this framework? Why do we have this framework and how does it operate and where do we get the statistics and what makes us move towards this kind of local church setup? Why should our churches be caring? Why should they be participating, worshiping, teaching, serving, reconciling, mentoring, training, and leading? And here's why. We are losing at least 50% of our young people, but the statistics are showing that it's getting higher and higher every year. And this attrition, this hemorrhage needs to be arrested. And like water between our fingers, we are losing them. A statement from Adventist Review, how many years ago? 9 years ago. This means that we need to start doing something. Once we've identified the problem, it needs to be seen as an urgent matter. Yeah. Therefore, something needs to be done. We need to be people of action more than we are theoretical. And here's the Adventist reality. The reason for leaving and staying away from the church is not doctrinal, but relational. Young people do not care whether we disagree. They care how we disagree. And the way we disagree gives them an idea of who the church is because we are the leaders. And when they see how we relate with each other at general conference, at division, at union, at conferences, even the pastor with his elder, there comes a problem. And this is why we need to be very careful what we do so that how we do it says to them they are in the right place and they belong, right? Ellen White says, very much has been lost to the cause of truth by lack of attention to the spiritual needs of the young. Ministers of the gospel should form a happy acquaintance with the youth. Did we say happy acquaintance?
Happy acquaintance.
Happy acquaintance with the youth of their congregations. Many are reluctant to do this, but their neglect is a sin in the sight of heaven. So because we need to attend them and engage them, if we fail to do that, we are simply showing them that they don't belong and that we can't embrace them and therefore we have no time for them. There's nothing that sparks our attitudes towards them. Something needs to happen. And the reason why we have this structure is because here, right here, and this is done by Andres Peralta. Dr. Andres Peralta is managing this part, and I'm doing this part. This is our strongest part. What happened now?
Got excited.
A lot of power.
All right, yeah. Let's go back. This is our strongest part in youth ministry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are strong in Pathfinder. They are strong in Adventurer. That's where things are good. Because they so much vibe in, but when they come here, we have a problem. This is 16 years, 21, absolutely, and then 23, 30 plus. Something needs to be done. But for us to make sure that they are part of the system, we need to ensure that their integration into adulthood is meaningful. Yes. And the first picture they have of the church is us.
Yeah.
So,
good question. I know there is another ministry taking care of college kids.
Yes.
They're not part of this.
No. Public campus ministry.
Is that an overlap on the last one that you presented? The younger.
Okay, we should naturally have this we should have PCM here. Mm. But under the current structure of the General Conference right
yes.
now,
another
it's another department. Because PCM cuts across all. Mm-hmm. We have our young Adventists in public campuses. We have junior youth in public campuses and senior youth in public campuses.
Oh, okay.
All right? So that's the status quo as it stands.
Age,
but yeah. So
like
thank you for asking that question. Really appreciate it. So we used to think, in fact, when youth ministry was started, we were thinking that, well, the church thought that this is another church outside the main church. And there was competition in demand, there was competition in attention, and the leaders were not keen to embrace youth ministry because they saw it as a threat to the local church movement and to the growth of the church. But we are simply saying, no, that's not the case. We must reposition youth ministry so that it is in the heart of the local church. So that what we do here at the General Conference, what you do at the divisions, wherever you are in the conferences, unions, what the programs we produce become relevant for the local church. Because that's where the rubber meets the road. Mm. And I'll explain why. It is because the local church must become the primary target of global youth ministry. Our core function is to resource and build up youth ministry at the local church. Now, I'm simply taking you back to why those 10 values are important, all right? We're building a case here. This is not what I... Good.
You're multitasking.
Youth ministry is only effective when it is a response to local needs, guided by local convictions in the hands of local people. Why? Young people are not leaving the General Conference. Young people are not leaving the divisions. They're not leaving the unions, the conferences. They are leaving the local church. And that's where we need to emphasize and be strong in our attention so that whatever we do, we can meet at a division and have a division campore, like we're going to do in SID. We're going to do a campore in Jamaica. You know, we can do all those things. But what are those things? How do those things and those programs fit for the local church? What are they doing to the local church, right?
Right.
You can see how many wonderful young people we have around the world. But listen to this. Young people are seeking a home. We're saying intergenerational churches of what? Of refuge. All right? So that young people and old people can coexist in a symbiotic way that brings wonderful feeling, acceptance, and embracing. Among young, emerging adults, we tend to the idea of seeking a home, that is, searching for belonging in a safe communal sphere that provides an established worldview and access to peers, mentors, and elders. Empirical research demonstrates that spiritual and religious communities and role models represent an enormously significant resource for the value formation and development of religiousness in emerging adults. So young people are looking to religious organizations to belong. And the church is one of those. And the Seventh Adventist Church, with the Three Angels message, has a special task. Mm. And we need to pay attention to some of these. Intergenerational relationships. Intergenerational ministry occurs when a congregation intentionally brings generations together. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So that it is not only the adults who are running the church, but also the young people who are involved. I will come to that. In mutual serving, sharing, or learning within the core activities of the church in order to live out being the family of God. Because the family is father, mother, brother, sister, whoever. And it brings together people who are of different ages, varying ages. They come together and they make this one common unit that grows and remains strong. So is the church of God. The young and the old need to come together. And when those 10 values are being exercised, we begin to see changes in the churches that are implementing those 10 values. The Bible basics, very, very simple, love. And we see the love of God being lavished upon human beings. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Without love, you are nothing. You can do all these things, but without love, you are nothing. Love one another so that they may know that you are my disciples. So we see this theme of love embracing our existence and our purpose at the local church. I will not go into that because you know the verses. So that what we do, love becomes incarnate in our lives through action, and then transformation happens and we see the results, and then that helps us to be more relational. Look at this. Decisions for baptism by young people from 1.5 to 30 years, all right? 83% of this decision for Jesus Christ is made by an age group from 1 to 30. In other divisions, youth ministry is 1 to 35. If we add 35, we are actually at 90%. So do you see how much we are? The youth is actually a mission field that needs help. And once it needs help, it needs nurturing. And after nurturing, it needs retention and, of course, reclamation if we lose some. In terms of world mission, listen to what Dean Bergman says. Young people form the largest and most crucial and most dynamic unreached people group in the world. The youth should be the first foreign mission of the church. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And if we say young people are going to finish the work, we must empower them now.
Yes.
We must integrate them into adulthood, into the mission of the church, into the operations of the church, into policy making, into you know, doctrine formulation. Let's hear what they say. What do they say about the current issues, the issues that have been discussed right now? What is their view? And if we will only talk at them and not listen to them, then there is no symbiotic relationship. They simply just one-sided relationship. But in a family, we listen to each other. Look at the youth in the salvation history. You know all of them one by one. Joseph, Samson, Samuel, David, Josiah, Mary, disciples, Mark, Timothy, all these guys. But look at this. How did the Adventist church begin? How did it begin? You and I know fully well that Adventism has its roots. It started with its roots in what? In youth. They were young when the Seventh Adventist church was newly formed. It was teenagers and who? Young adults who held many leadership positions and helped to transform the church into the organization it is today. We are not suggesting that young people should take over. We are saying the young and the old should work together.
Amen.
Let them be involved in the decision-making of the church. Youth, in not only in salvation history, but also in the starting of the church. How many were they? How old were they? Look at these guys. 17, 23, 15, 24, pathfinders, ambassadors, young adults, all these guys, they were young, but God used them in a mighty way. Why? They availed themselves and they were given a chance. All the youth want today is to be given a chance. Somebody, you are where you are now because somebody gave you a chance. Somebody gave you a chance and they believed in you and you worked through it. ICO offers the church a comprehensive framework and structure of indispensable values to build homes for all generations. The church must be a home where a young person feels, I can be here and stay here.
Mm-hmm.
An adult must say, I can be here and stay here. So what do we need to do? How many minutes am I left with?
You have, thank you, I'm just looking here. You have 7 minutes.
Good. Let's go. So we have got these connecting. I'm going to now explain just a little bit. I'm just going to go into one of them. Relationships. We said we need to connect with young people. It's so simple to connect with young people. It's so cheap to connect with young people. You don't need to be educated. You don't need to have a position. You don't need to be a VIP. You just need to be yourself because young people want to see that you are a normal person.
Yeah.
Can you go hiking with them? Can you do some popcorn with them? Can you do some things? Youth ministry is going to make us feel uncomfortable, but it's okay to feel uncomfortable for their salvation.
Come on.
Let the tectonic plates begin to shake and move for the sake of our young people. Connecting churches strive to form authentic and loving relationships across generations. So when they want to connect with you on Facebook, it's okay. When they want to connect with you on WhatsApp, it's okay. You know, get to know their names, connect with them. I can say so much. But connecting with young people opens up ineffable prospects for spiritual leadership. The extent to which we connect with them is the extent to which we can wield influence and relevance in their lives. relationships, caring. Caring churches foster a loving attitude that reaches out to others with empathy and accepts them the way they are. Hallelujah. They actively serve their good and support them in all areas of life. The more you know who they are and what they stand for, the more the Holy Spirit will use you to be an agent of change in their life so that their deportment, their behavior can be transformed into the likeness of Christ because of a relationship. They want to know who you are. Caring. Christ's method alone. I don't need to emphasize this. Hallelujah. Yep. You know this?
Yep. Yes.
All right. Minister of Healing, page 143. He ministered to their needs. He showed them sympathy. Then he won their confidence. After that, he said, follow me. Mm-hmm. So he was intentional in trying to get to know people. Let's get to know them. Let's get to engage them. Let's hear them out. This is one of the things that our young people were doing around the world, giving us heart formation pictures. And you tell them to do something, they will do it, and they will even go beyond your expectations. All right? Participating. Churches that encourage participation value the gifts and skills of their fellow human beings. Sometimes solutions come from unexpected corners. It is those young people who are exposed to things that you're not exposed to who will give you methods and mechanisms that will work in this contemporary era. We don't say, let the principles change or let doctrine change. Method can change and doctrine can remain the same. Participating. Listen to what Jan Paulsen said in what year? 2009. Keeping the youth and young adults engaged in church must be one of our highest priorities. I don't have the words to express the depth of my conviction that we must give young adults meaningful roles within the church. It can be the same, busy work, but we must vote them into substantive roles that bespeak a high level of what?
Trust.
Trust. Include them in decision-making processes. Seek their involvement in ways that say, we want to hear your voice. I cannot overemphasize this. Worshipping. Churches understand worship as the daily practice of making gospel reality. The young people today are saying, we're looking for sermons that speak the truth and not sermons that are here to entertain us. Young people don't want to be entertained. They want to be sent as arrows, like my boss usually says, right to the forefront.
Yes.
So that they can be agents of change wherever they may go. So young people want these strong sermons. And this is why we say God's people have always included young people in worship. Sometimes you go to the front and when you see officers marching in, you'll only see gentlemen, no women. Or gentlemen, no young people. We need to involve everybody in the worship.
Yeah,
let's have the young people, let's have women, let's have everyone participate in leading the worship. If it becomes one-sided, then we are devoid of a certain nutrition, and that nutrition is called participation. Spiritual growth. Churches that teach the word of God communicate in a relevant, creative, and practical way. Don't do things the way you have normally done them. Have a dynamic set of worship. Let's teach in ways that appeal to young people. And as we use social media and digital, gadgets, whatever we use, we need to show them that we are on top of our game. And that we think about them before we even present. So that they may receive it in a way that is palatable, that is meaningful, and that will keep them engaged.
Amen.
You know, the human span of concentration for human beings is just 20 minutes. Now it's getting lesser and less. It was 30 minutes 10 years ago. Now it's 20 minutes. And it keeps getting less and less. And for our young people, serving. Mission and ministering always require, I'm left with four, require an attitude of serving. Serving churches follow the example of Jesus by ministering to the needs of others and seeking to discover new ways to serve. Let the young people know their communities and let them remain relevant for their communities. Look at this guy. This is Past Global Youth Day.
Amen.
We were praying for prisoners.
Ish.
We were adopting prisoners and adopting orphans. We were adopting, whatever. So that people may know that we are a people of love. You know, we can argue as theologians. We can argue from one point to the other. We can dissect words in Greek and Hebrew. And we can do this and that. But you can't argue against kindness.
Yep.
Everybody understands love.
It's true.
That's why Jesus used the language of love to speak to all of us who are sinners, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The church was organized for what?
Service.
Service. If we take away the mission aspect or the service aspect from the church, we simply become a social club, and right. God forbid.
Right.
But we need to have something that is engaging, something that says we are moving. All right, mission, reconciling. Reconciling, friends, this cannot be taken for granted.
No.
We hate each other, but we must come together and say, I am sorry. Whether you are a leader or a young person, when we have hurt each other, the relationships need to be protected, because our relationships determine how people understand us and perceive our mission.
Amen.
So we need to humble ourselves and be humble to say, I am sorry. Whether you are a leader or not a leader, we make mistakes.
Amen.
Husband and wife make mistakes, but we simply apologize to each other. Children make mistakes, and we make mistakes towards our children. We apologize. The church of God is God's family.
Amen.
Therefore, we need to protect the sanctity and the strength of our families. All right, I will not go into that. I've talked about empowering, mentoring churches that care about personally accompanying their children and youth in particular, but also adults in their walk of faith are committed to fostering spiritual mentoring relationships. Look at this. Youth who have a mentoring relationship with caring adults are less likely to engage in delinquent behavior.
Mm.
We need adults who will avail themselves for young people. Don't think it is just youth ministry as it was done 10 years ago, 40 years ago. It's a new time, new era. Yes, the principles remain the same, the doctrine remains the same, but methodology must change so that we remain relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Empowering, training, churches that are open for learning opportunities, for training for their members to develop individual gifts and skills. These young people are gifted. Get to know their gift, develop their spiritual giftedness. And when they know their gift, they will be engaged in the work according to their gifts. And when they are fulfilled by using their gifts, they will stay, because they are being recognized and valued. With such a great army of what?
Yeah,
rightly what? Trained. Empowerment, leading.
Whoops.
Strategical and purpose-driven churches lead with a vision and passion. Integrating the younger generation in the leadership activities of the church. I'm young and I travel around the world. And when they see me, they see me as their sign of hope. I'm not assuming and trying to project that I'm a holy person here, but I'm trying to give you the reality that when they see me, they see that young people are involved at the helm of the world headquarters.
Amen.
It does something to them. It says something to them, and I'm thankful for this privilege and opportunity. I want to end with this. According to Mitra, 2009, in youth-adult partnerships, youth are decision makers rather than consumers or consultants. We have relegated our young people to being consumers. We have relegated them to, you know, just people out there whom we talk to when we feel it is necessary. But the more we make them participants of the decision-making process, the more they will feel like they belong.
Amen.
The more they are involved,
Amen.
The more they belong. Friends, I just want to end with this. Change begins with you and me.
Yeah. Amen.
Pastors, elders are influential, and God requires much from them because of the sacred responsibility they carry. John Maxwell rightly calls it influence.
Mm-hmm.
But service is not about leaders. It is about the led. It's not about you. It's not about me. It is about leading them into a saving, loving relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And helping them to embrace his call to discipleship. How each local church passes the ball, the strategy for scoring, and the skills of the players all remain unique because contexts are different. But we can never lose sight of the goal. What matters most is that the ball must get to the back of the net.
Mm, I like that.
Let's
Come
keep
on.
Them.
Amen.
Let's nurture them. Let's embrace them. God bless you.